Well, tonight is the beginning of a new Covenant Life class on authority, and we're going to start at the beginning with the foundation, lay the groundwork tonight for the other three classes. I know I say this every time for every class, but this is an important class. Authority is an important topic, and I think it's a topic that few people have had really some very good teaching on it, and it's hurt a lot of people. It's hurt people in organizations, it's hurt people in their family, business, all different things, because not understanding this. And this is one outline that I will go over several times to make sure that I have these concepts down. Again, you don't get it hearing just one time, but authority is vital for any organization to succeed and to thrive and to do well. All right, your authority as a believer, the foundation. How does authority work? To use it like anything else, you must understand it. Authority, the definition is delegated power. Authority is the right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action. It's power or influence resulting from knowledge. And I think we've all been in a situation, maybe in a traffic jam or some kind of situation where the policeman is standing out there with the whistle and, you know, a big truck's coming and he puts his hand up. And the truck will stop. Why is that? Because of authority. Authority and power. And he doesn't just do it by brute force. Obviously, he's not going to be able to stop that truck. But that badge represents something. It represents the government. It represents the laws. It represents a lot of power. It represents a military force, if necessary. And so people, they're not going to go against that. They're going to stop if they know what's good for them. Well, authority is not just power, but it's the right to use power. Authority flows like a current through a chain of command. It originates at the power source and passes through join links to the receptor to an accomplished or a desired result. And again, power is coming in here tonight. It's coming from the power station. It goes to a substation. It comes from the substation. Comes in here. And anywhere along the way, if there's a breakdown, a short circuit, what happens? The power is not going to flow. And it's the same thing for the chain of command and authority. If there's any breakdown, it starts at the top and it flows on down. And any breakdown along the way will stop the power flow. That's the chain of command. And every link must be in place for the plan to be accomplished. So all along the way, there's got to be a smooth flow of authority, a smooth flow of electricity, a smooth flow of power. And I think what happens so many times is in an organization, there's weak links, and weak links will stop the will of God from being done. Weak links will stop the flow of the anointing. The military situations, the goal in any military organization is for the person at the top to give the command and for it to flow exactly from each link in the chain down to the very bottom of that chain, and that's where most of the things are carried out. But it's given to different people, and it's transferred, and then it's carried out in the trenches. And if there's any breakdown, lives are going to be lost. If there's any breakdown, people are going to get hurt. And it's the same thing with authority in this church, authority in business. It's got to flow, and it's got to flow through the chain of command. Authority is only as good as the power behind it. The stronger the power behind it, the greater the authority. So when we're talking about God's power, we're talking about the greatest power on the earth. You can't get any bigger than God. He's the most powerful. He's the strongest. And so His authority, it's backed up. It's backed up by the biggest power in the universe. So everyone but God Himself is subject to authority, and even He is subject to authority, the authority of His own Word. He's omnipotent. All power comes from Him. And therefore, any legal authority is delegated by Him. Even our government, we read over in Romans, even the government is set up by God. Now, you may not like it. You know, might like the taxes and some of the laws and the rules and why do we have to do this. But even the government is set up by God for our good, to protect you, to serve you, to help you, to bless you. And you go against that authority, you're gonna be in trouble. And you really, when you do that, and you may think you're doing right, but when you go against the government that God's established, you're going against God. Some of these tax people that want to evade taxes, and some of these people that want to form their own military, and they don't want to have any part. They want to be in the United States and have all the privileges, but they want to follow the laws. They're going against God, and they're setting themselves up for trouble. And we'll read that later, because the Bible says that God resists the proud. God resists those that rebel and go against authority. All right, with authority comes a set of guidelines on how to use it. And we call this responsibility. The guidelines come from your upline. Now, how many have been in an organization where you've had guidelines? Just about everybody? The ideal thing is, if you're given a position, is for you to be trained. That doesn't always happen. But for you to be trained and for you to be given guidelines and say, these are the parameters you're to operate in. But the guidelines come from above. You don't just create your own guidelines. You don't just make up your own guidelines. They come up from your upline. And the one who has put you in authority gives you the guidelines for using the authority. And this is where I find, and where I've seen from experience, and my experience is, been in church all my life, Catholic church, different churches. I've been in, went to a military high school. I've been in business. I've been in all types of organizations. In school, I was in organizations. And this is where the breakdown in authority usually happens, is when it comes to guidelines. People love the titles. People love the position, but they don't want the responsibility that goes with the position. They don't want to have to answer to someone else concerning what the job they're given to do. And that's where the breakdown so many times occurs. And what happens, someone will be given a position, and they get in that position, and for whatever reason, they decide, well, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to do it my way. You hear the McDonald's commercials, have it your way. And that's what we want. We want to have it our way. We want the perks. Oh, Burger King? That was a little test there. Now, where am I and who am I and where am I going? Where am I going with all this? Have it your way. Okay. But so many times people, and I understand, I mean, a lot of us, we don't like to have a boss. We don't like to have someone standing over us and telling us how to do things. I mean, that really kind of grates against us. We all want to be individuals. We want to be free. We don't want to be under anyone. But I think that has hurt us, especially here in the United States. That has really hurt us in so many organizations. You look at our professional sports teams. You have a basketball team or a football team. Say basketball. You've got five individuals trying to play together as a team. Most of them, they've got their own agents and they've got their own staff, and they're all have gotten so arrogant they won't even work together. Paid multi-million dollars, but they can't even cooperate with each other to be individuals. But it's the teams that work together, the teams that submit to a coach or coaches, teams that submit to each other, are the teams that thrive and succeed. They're the ones that end up being the champions. It's not talent. So many times, it's submission, it's following orders, it's following the leadership that causes one group to succeed over another. How many times you've seen it in baseball where they try to buy up the best players, and they have nine of the best players in the league, and they end up coming in last place because there's no unity, there's no submission. And submission, as we'll get into it, is a key for authority. Most people want to do their own thing. People come here and they really get hit by culture shock in so many ways. First of all, we have a strong message. And then when you're asked to serve, and this member is asked to serve in a different area, then you're given a job description. Then you have guidelines. Then you have different things that you're supposed to do. In most churches, I don't know what churches you've been at, most churches, you just take a job and do whatever you want. That's how it works. You just do whatever you want. And well, that's good enough. Well, it's a volunteer organization. You can't require anybody to follow any guidelines. And so what you have is you have chaos. You have a group of people and each person is doing their own thing. That won't work. And so the hardest thing is to submit, is to follow someone else's guidelines, is to submit yourself to the person that's above you. Submit to them. Now, I'm not saying follow them blindly off a cliff. Or if they're doing something wrong, something evil, something dishonest, which happens sometimes. I've been in that situation. But you're not dealing with that here. what most of the time the problems are personality conflicts. You don't necessarily maybe don't like your leader, or you don't like the way your leader does something. When you're doing any given any kind of job, there's about 25, 50, 75 ways you can do it. And if everybody wants to do it their way, you're going to have a problem. And so someone in the group, and I know that we live in a democracy, but someone in the group says, hey, has to say, hey, we're going this way. And they may be wrong, but someone's got to lead and take the brunt and say, hey, we're going this way. We don't have voting here. We don't vote. We don't have committees that vote. Now, I know that's been good for democracy, but I tell you, that causes a lot of problems if you want to get anything done. The power cannot flow. So with authority comes a set of guidelines on how to use it, and we call that responsibility. You know, I desire responsibility. I desire responsibility. I ask God for responsibility. I want responsibility. I don't want just a title. I want the responsibility that goes with it. I want God to be able to trust me. I want God to be able to say, here's the keys to the building. I trust you with that. I trust you with this congregation. I trust you with this equipment. I trust you with this $1 million. And when you're a person like that, I mean, that's difficult, because if you ask him for it, he'll give it to you. And it may not always come in the form that you want it to come. And there's a lot of days when you want to quit and you want to run and you want to hide and you look behind you and there's no one else there. But I've just made up a decision in my life. I want responsibility. I want to be accountable. I want to carry out the will of God. I want to carry out the will of those that are above me. Policemen enforce the laws written by the representatives of the people. They do not decide on their own authority, on what authority they have. To remain in authority, you must use authority responsibly and according to guidelines. How would you like it if the policemen just did their own thing? Some do. How would you like it if the firemen did their own thing? How would you like it if your government officials did their own thing and didn't follow the guidelines and didn't follow what we elected them to do? You wouldn't like it, would you? Okay, so responsibility. Next part is delegated authority. Delegate authority. Authority entrusted to a person acting as one's agent or representative. Ultimately, all authority is delegated down from God. And God has given us seven areas of the ministry. And through these people and through these areas, we delegate anointings. We delegate responsibility. We delegate up the different areas. Call that the chain of command, delegated authority. But then you have abused authority, authority misused or used wrongly, not using authority in accordance with the guidelines. That's why it's so important to have guidelines. It really is, and I know different people struggle with that, but it's so important to have guidelines. Guidelines solve so many situations. Guidelines, when you write them down on paper, sets the standard. Guidelines give you parameters which to operate. Guidelines give you security. Did you know that? Guidelines will give a person security. They want to know. Most people want to know what they're responsible for. Most people want to know the job they're given to do. One of the most frustrating things is to get a job and to not know what you're supposed to do. Isn't that frustrating? And so guidelines, there, it's a chore to write. Many of us feel, well, I can't write. And it's a chore to write. But when you put it down on paper, it solves so many problems. Well, what do the guidelines say? That's why God gave us a book. This is our guidelines. These are our parameters. This is how we're to operate. He wrote it all down and put it all down in a book. But when it's misused, that's when you act out of line. You're not following the orders given to you. And that's really where most problems happen. Did you know that? You know, when I worked at the paper mill, we had several deaths out there. And, you know, you hate that when that happens. I mean, one guy in particular, I was looking at him, he had four kids, married and had four kids. You know, came to work one day, and the next moment, in a blink of an eye, he was dead. You know, it was a safety thing out there. But, you know, every safety accident like that happened because the person didn't follow the guidelines. Every death, every major accident that we had at the plant had to do with the person not following guidelines. Either they didn't do a shutdown properly, either they were supposed to use a rope or some kind of a safety link and they didn't use that, or they're supposed to, you know, wear a certain kind of clothing. They just made a decision one day they weren't going to do it. Usually what happens is you kind of, you know, ease your way into it. Well, I'll just break this little thing here. And then you get away with it. I'll just do this one. and it kind of grows until one day happens to be the day, and that's when you have the major thing. So many times, accidents. Most of us have been trained to drive. We know how to drive. We know the proper things. But most of the time when you have an accident, it's usually a breakdown. I know there's drunk people, and well, they shouldn't be doing that anyways, but a lot of times it's just a breakdown. You know what you're supposed to do, but for whatever reason, you just break the laws of safety. Most things that happen in this ministry, things that don't work or when there's problems and things would happen, most of the time someone's been given orders and they don't follow the orders. And there's a breakdown in communication and it causes problems. So many times here, things that where the devil has gotten in, he can't just get in, but he's gotten in several times, certain things have happened, and he's gotten in when there's been a breakdown of authority. Usurped authority. Let's look at the next one. It's authority seized without right. Another word for this is rebellion. It's taking a place that is not rightfully yours. That's where you get dictatorship or where someone just takes advantage of another person. Have you ever been in an organization where you've seen that? Especially in an organization where you have weak leaders. People try to take authority. Well, I'm only going to take this area, but I'm going to take this area over here, and I'm going to take this area over here. But that's also a problem, and that leads to rebellion. All right, so this is how authority works. Again, it flows through a chain. It flows from person to person to person, and you need submission, which we'll talk about in a moment, submission for it to flow, and it needs to flow all the way down to the lowest level for it to operate and for it to be successful. God's plan from authority is for good. God's desire for authority to flow is for people to be saved, people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, people to be healed, people to be blessed, people to be set free. That's the whole reason for authority in this church, is for the vision and the mission to be accomplished. The stronger the authority, the stronger the chain of command that we have here, the more effective that we're going to be. Our vision here, the Good News Church, is established so that all people in our world will be saved and will come to know and fulfill God's plan for our lives. The more effective we are in delegating that and giving guidelines and giving parameters and putting things down on paper, the more that we demand excellence, the more that we demand accountability from people, the more effective that we're going to be as an organization. I just see a lot of problems here. Because when you're talking about this area, when you're talking about rebellion, you're talking about disobedience, you're dealing with heart issues. There could be someone, you can ask them to do something, and they'll say yes, yes, yes. And they walk away and they grumble and they complain. And they do it with a sorry attitude. And why do I have to do this? And they grumble to everybody else around them. You know what happens? When you do that, you're cutting off the anointing. You're stopping the anointing from flowing. If I say to Valerie, I'm designating the authority to you to be an usher. And she says, yes, I'll do that. And then I give her guidelines and parameters. And then I give Valerie a command. When Valerie says, yes, I'll do that, and she walks away, but she grumbles, she complains, I can't do it, why do I have to do it? You know what's happening there? The anointing is being stopped. The anointing in that area that she serves as an usher, the anointing won't flow. The power of God won't flow. Whatever area she's in, the power of God won't be there. Have you ever walked into a situation, it may be a church or with a group of, and something just doesn't seem right? You ever done that? I've done that in many churches. I was in a church the other day, and I walked in, and I just felt something funny. And you know what it was? There was no authority there. This was the service that I went to where I ushered. The pastor of the Good News Church, now maybe I was in rebellion here, because I took over the head usher job that night. I was at the service, and they had a ministry line, and it was just chaos. And I'm used to things being a certain way. I like things a certain way. And it was total chaos in this place. We had people from all over the congregation. I don't even know that we're even in that church. They're ministering to people. All kind of things are going on. And finally, I just said, I felt God spoke to me. He said, you need to get in there and do something. This service is going to be ruined. Because the message was a guest minister, was a powerful message. And the Spirit of God was moving. But the authority structure in the church was going to stop the flow of the anointing. So maybe I was wrong, and you know, I repented to the pastor afterwards. I had to do something, and I just stepped in there, and I just stopped everything and made everybody get behind me. And I let them in one by one, and they could minister to them. And they got mad. They got mad about it. But you know, people were touched. People were saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. All kind of things happened. But when there's a breakdown of authority, the power, you can have all the anointing in the world, but there's no flow for it. There's a breakdown. It's not going to reach people. It's so vital. I mean, you don't understand all that goes into a service here at the Good News Church. All the things that go into people arriving early, people turning the lights on, people getting the air. You know, we've got a checklist of all these. I mean, an usher job here is like working in a factory. You know, it's like an 8-hour job. I mean, they have got a lot. They got a checklist of so many items that have to be done just to get everything going. And you got the nursery and toddlers and preschool and Good News Kids Club. And we've got vans running and we've got all altar workers and people in the sound and all kind of things going on. And it's got to flow together and it's got to work. You got people singing up here. It's got to flow. And if it doesn't flow, people's lives aren't going to be touched. People think, well, it's just easy. We'll just set me up a church. There's a lot involved. And the more effective you are in leading, the more effective you are in your chain of command, the more lives that are going to be touched. So the prerequisite to using authority. And, you know, and I know some people are like, dear God, do we have to hear this stuff? I mean, I was in the military once. But I tell you, you can never get enough of this. We try to weave this in several different classes. But this is vital. This is vital. I don't care what level. You may have been saved 30 years. You need to hear this. To wield authority, one must first submit to authority. Everybody say submit.
Submit.
Okay, now everybody smile real big. And then now, and I will say that this is a positive confession. I love
to submit.
Didn't that just feel good? Now I want you to go home tonight. I want you to look in the mirror and say that 10 times. And then you start naming people. Start with your president, vice president, Congress, your mayor, then your pastor. Put your wife or your husband in there. And then each person, now say that 10 times. Okay. But to wield authority, one must first submit to authority. To have authority, you must get in the flow. It's not bad to be under authority. It's not bad. It's good. You want to be under authority. Because if you haven't been under authority and you're placed in authority, you're going to fall flat on your face. And it's not going to be pretty. So you want to be under authority. You ought to crave to be under authority. To handle power, who wants to handle authority here? Who wants the anointing and the power of God to flow through you? Who wants to see miracles and signs and wonders happen because you're there? Well, you need to understand this then. To handle power, you must be under someone else. In order to submit, you must be faithful, loyal, committed, and you must have the interest of your leader at the core of your heart. To be a good follower, you cannot be selfish. You have to put the interests of others above your own interests. And that's very difficult. Because I hate to say it, most people have their own agenda. Most people are in it for themselves. I'm talking even in ministry. Even people that are pastors and in the fivefold ministry. Most people, they're in it for their own gain. But ministry is not about you. Ministry is about others. Submission is not about your will. Submission is about the will of God and the plan of God. And so to submit, you're going to need to be faithful. Faithful. You show up, rain or shine. You're there. You're there to help. You're there to be a blessing. Loyal. Even if they talk ugly and bad about your leader, you follow. You follow along. Committed and having their interest at your heart. The word submit means to yield to the action. Now, you may not like this word, control. To yield to the action, control, or power of another. To surrender to. To be under obedience and subject to be subject to authority. Now, I know we've been in situations. For example, I'm not going to submit to Adolf Hitler, you know, a killer. Now, I'm not going to submit to someone like that. But if God calls me to a place, to a business, to somebody that may not be the most pleasant person, but God's called me there, I need to submit. And, you know, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And I don't know, I mean, maybe it runs deeper with me, I don't know. It's like some people, they don't have an understanding of calling. A calling is something that is deep in your heart. I believe people are called to a church. I don't understand church hopping. I don't understand, well, one little thing happens and they're out the door. Well, they're looking for someone else. They don't understand submission. Has God called you or has He not called you? If He hasn't called you, then you're in the wrong place and you need to go where He's called you. He calls you to church. He calls you to a husband or a wife. He calls you to where you work. Now the question, has He called you or hasn't He called you? And if He hasn't called you, you need to find out where He's called you to. Have a walk, Ephesians say, have a walk worthy of your calling. And you know, we leave young people out of this, but you know, you all been called to a high school. You've been all jobs, called to your family. That's a calling from God. And I take my calling seriously. It's important to me. There's not a day that goes by where I don't think about the calling and what He's called me to do. And then am I walking in that calling? Am I doing what He's asked me to do? I'm not talking about what I want. I'm talking about what He's called me to do. And I don't know where I've got that from. I don't know where I've learned that. I don't know. I mean, I really had a hard time with it back when I was younger. I worked in jobs, and for whatever reason, I would rebel against the boss. I would, like, chew the boss out openly in front of other people. I would talk back. But that was before I got saved. And when I got saved, something inside me changed. And that same boss who I would talk back to, suddenly I followed. Suddenly I listened. Suddenly I respected him. And it just changed my life. And it's funny, when you do that, when you begin to submit to where God's placed you, the blessings of God begin to flow. Happens every time. I've seen it over and over. You find out where God has for you, and if you'll submit, the blessings of God will flow. I'm talking about financially. I'm talking about in your body. I'm talking about relationships. Why? Because the anointing is flowing. Now, you want to be under someone that's anointed. If you're under someone that's not anointed, then the anointing's not going to flow, but you want to be under someone that's anointed. But let that anointing flow through them into you and submit yourself. Look over in Luke chapter 7. Well, Pastor Matt, you see, I work at a job and my boss, he's not a Christian. Well, tell that to Joseph. Tell that to Daniel. These guys prospered as slaves. Joseph basically ran Egypt, the most powerful country. The king trusted him so much, he ran that country. That country was blessed because that man was there, because Joseph was called there, called of God. But Luke 7, verse 1, now when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. See, the anointing, it flows to help people. And so when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I do not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority. See, he's under authority. He knows how power works. Having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have found not such great faith, not even in Israel. The power, this man's not a believer. He's not a believer. Yet the power of God flowed. Jesus didn't even have to be there. It just flowed because of that man's understanding of authority. Oh, that we'd have that understanding in the church. That we would be people under authority. that we would be people that would submit ourselves, not only to our leaders, but submit ourselves to each other and stop being so selfish and stop wanting things our way and start submitting ourselves to the will of others. And if you begin to do that, you're going to see the power of God flow like never before. Whatever position that you're in, you'll see the power of God flow. Jesus was submitted to the authority. Read the life of Jesus in the Gospels. I marvel at this, at reading his account and how submitted he was to God and to the will of God. He never stepped out of the chain of command. He only did what he saw the Father do, said what he heard the Father say. He understood how authority worked, and he fulfilled his responsibilities. John 5:30 says, "I seek the will of the Father who sent me." John 6:38, "I have come to do the will of him who sent me." Luke 22:42, I love this, "Not my will, but yours be done." And when you begin to pray that prayer, when you begin to say that prayer in your life will change. When you begin to say that in the midst of the most selfish generation ever living on the face of the earth, the me generation, me, 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 everything's about me and my stuff and I, the big I. When you begin to pray that prayer, your life will change. You begin to say to God, "Not my will, but your will." That's when you'll start hearing from God. That's when he'll begin to speak to you. That's when he can begin to trust you with power and authority. That's when you'll receive promotions. That's when you'll get raises. I started praying that prayer the moment after I got saved. I started reading through the Bible, and I came to John. I passed over in Luke and didn't read it, but I came to the book of John, and I was reading that, and that so struck me. And from that point on, I began to say that, "Father, not my will, but your will. I want the plan of God. I want what you want." And my life began to change from that very moment. He began to speak to me. He began to show me the plan and the path for my life and the direction to go in. Our authority is dependent on our submission. Turn over to James chapter 4, verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 6. "But he gives more grace, therefore," he says, "God resists the proud. God resists the disobedient. God resists the rebellious. God resists the people that do their own thing. God resists selfish people." It's all in that word there. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, to the person that submits. Grace is God's ability added to your ability. Therefore, submit to God. And when you submit to God, you submit to his word, then you can have the next part. Resist the devil and he will flee, because he can trust you with the power. But if you don't submit to God, you don't submit to his word, the power won't work through you. And the devil's going to have a field day in your life. And you can use the name of Jesus, and you can plead the blood of Jesus all you want, but if you're not submitted, it will not work for you. Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." He will lift you up. You don't want to be lifted up before your time. You do not want to be lifted up before your time. You do not want to be in front of the crowds before your time. God's timing is best. Even if you think you're ready, you've got to wait another 10 years, it's best to wait. Just take it from experience. It's best to wait and go through God's training plan for you, because it's so much better. God's plan is so much better. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves." Let me read that definition again. Of submission, so you know what I'm talking about. "Yield to the action, control, or power of another, to surrender to be under obedience and subject to be subject to authority. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud." God loves you. He cares for you. But if you're going to continually do your own thing, God himself will resist you. Pride comes before what? Destruction. Haughty spirit before the fall. Whenever there's destruction, there's pride involved. God resists the proud. but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now look at it. Look where it leads to again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, notice how it talks about submission before it talks about resisting the devil. If you're having a problem with the devil, you may be having a submission problem. If the devil is wreaking havoc in your finances, in your family, in any area, if he's attacking you and stealing when you've rebuked him and told him to take his hands off your family and off your stuff, something is wrong. Many times it's a submission problem. Somewhere it's a submission problem, either to God or to His Word or to His leaders. If you're not submitted to your leaders, you're not submitted to God. Now that's a hard one, because many people will say, I'm submitted to God. Sure, I mean, I love Jesus. I love God. If you're rebellious towards your leaders, if you complain about your leaders, if you gripe about your place in life, if you're constantly criticizing your leaders, that is an indication of your relationship with God. So my question is, do you really love Him? Do you really love Him? Because if you really love Him, then you'll follow the leaders. You'll follow the leader that He's placed in your life. To the degree that we are submitted, we'll have authority. To be born again, we must submit to God's authority by making Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 10:9. Some biblical words that indicate authority: Lord, Master, Ruler, Dominion, Rule, Submit, Submission, Obey, Obedience, Honor, Reverence. Words like honor and reverence. The church today, we've lost those words. You know, I used to attend the Catholic Church, and people were so reverent there. Because, well, first of all, they felt so sinful, so they were very reverent when they got in the house of God. But they were so reverent, you could hear a pin drop. No one wanted to make any noise or do anything to cause any distractions, because somehow that would stop, that would displease God, or displease what's going to happen in that service. You go to many churches and many meetings today, you got kids getting up, going to the restroom. People got their cell phones on, their beepers on. They're looking around at all the what everybody's wearing and looking at whatever. They come into church late. They leave early. They get up during the altar call. Just a disrespect for the Spirit of God. And we wonder why the power doesn't flow. We all say, we want revival. I want revival. How many people, now, don't raise any hands, how many people actually, that's not, say, ministering that day, actually pray for a service? How many people, like on a Sunday morning, they'll go to bed early on Saturday so they can get up, go to bed early on Saturday night and get up and so they're all refreshed on Sunday morning? How many people do that? How many people even give a thought about church? But yet we say we want the revival. We say we want limbs to grow out. We want to... You know, there's a price to be paid. And I'm not defending myself here, but people really get upset when I correct somebody that's sleeping. I've done that 3 times in the 4.5 years I've been pastoring. And people really get upset about that. But see, I'm just funny about the church. I just think when the anointing's there and the power of God's there, I'm expecting things to happen. And I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't know about everybody else. Now, I only do it when He tells me to do it. I don't just do it because, you know, you have to look around. There's a lot of people fall asleep. But you know what they used to do in the old days? The ushers used to have a big stick. And if someone fell asleep, they came by and they thumped you on the head. What do you guys think? Come on, big bumps on your head. What kind of church is this? Well, I go to the Good News Church, you know. I think we've got kind of a luxury mentality about church. But, you know, I read about the early church, and I read about it in the book of Acts, and I see the miracles, and I get hungry. And I see the 3,000 saved, and the 5,000 saved, and some, and all these different things. And then I read about the church in the early part of this century, and the things that happened, and people that don't know anywhere near what we know about the Word. I think this has a big part of it. Honor, reverence, submission, submitting to each other. We'll wrap it up here with some history of spiritual authority. Turn over to Isaiah 14. But Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. That's what he's trying to do. And a lot of the ways he weakens people and nations is from authority, causing division and strife. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. See, the very deal with Satan was an authority deal. There was three archangels. That's why you had a third leave the chain of command. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. And Lucifer rebelled against God, and his third left because they were under him. It was an authority deal. Authority from the beginning here. And he had a problem because he wanted to do things his way. He wanted to be like the Most High God, but the only problem is the angels can't be like the Most High God because that's reserved for man. Angels can't do it. Reserved for you and me. What he really wanted to be is be like us. But he couldn't. He wasn't created to do that. He knew better than God. Have you ever heard that? He knew better. Now, I think all of us have probably thought that many times. Well, if I was leading, I would do it this way. I knew better. But God delegated his authority to Adam. And we read this so many times. Let's look at it again. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let them have authority. Let them handle power over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And notice he never said to have dominion over people. And that's where you get in some funny stuff with authorities when you try to dominate people. And that's where it gets messed up every time. And Satan wants you to get messed up in that. But look, God delegated authority to Adam. Look over in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. My cross-reference says God, a little lower than God. And you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things, where? Under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. And so that authority was delegated to his man. Adam was God's representative. He was under God's guidelines, so to speak. And man was to be God's companion and under-ruler, sub-ruler. And he was as close to God without being God. Now, Adam was the God, little g, of this world and was responsible for it. God told Adam to tend it and to keep it. And he said to Adam, you control it. I'm delegating that authority to you. Adam had the legal right to name the animals. He had the legal right to confer his dominion to another being. Authority can be transferred. It's like an electricity can transfer, you know, from the power station to the substation to the church to the outlet, from the cord to whatever it is, it can be transferred. The anointing can be transferred. Power can be transferred. And so Adam committed high treason and lost his authority. Let's look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than... See what he's trying to do from the very beginning? It's a lot about authority here. He's trying to get Adam to take God's word, to take it lightly, to not value it, to not value God and what he said. From the very beginning, he's trying to get in there so that the power will stop. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every... That's what he does. He asks questions, those questions. Constantly asking you questions. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it... See, he's going back to this thing, to be like God here again. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The power flow was stopped. The anointing was stopped. The plan of God was stopped. Adam now delegated power and authority to the devil and gave it to him. What Adam should have done and what we should do today, Adam should have recognized he was the head in that relationship. Adam should have recognized what God said. He was the serpent was going against what God said. This is what God said to do. I'm going to follow my leader. I'm going to submit. I may not understand it. Yes, that tree is desirable. Yes, that fruit is desirable. But I'm going to do what he said to do. I'm going to swear to my own hurt. And I'm going to do what God said to do. And what he should have done then is taken his authority that God delegated to him and told that serpent to get out of the garden. That's what should have happened. But he didn't do it. Instead, he bowed his knee. And so all that authority that was placed on Adam, all that dominion and authority, the anointing that was placed on him, he now took it. Adam took it and gave it to the devil. And that's where Satan became the god, little g, of this world. And you remember when Satan was tempting Jesus and he was overlooking the kingdoms? He had the authority to give it to Jesus. Well, that's not possible. How could that be? How could it, if it wasn't so, it wouldn't have been a temptation for Jesus. It had to be something he really could have done. Legally, Satan now had dominion over the earth. He took it from Adam. And now he's ruling and reigning. And things were pretty bad until a man named Jesus came and stripped him of his authority. And what you have now is you now have two systems operating on the earth, the devil's system and God's system. And those of us that are born again and understand who we are, operating God's system, realize our system is bigger than their system. We now have authority over him. But the thing that you're going to have to watch, I mean, this is a warning, I guess, for all of us. The thing you're going to have to watch is Satan is still trying to tempt you to rebel. He's still trying for you to question authority. He's still trying to get you to do your own thing, to have your own thing. Do it your way. He's going to constantly, I don't care who you are, he's going to constantly come at you with that. He's going to constantly ask you questions. Well, God didn't really mean that. That page in the Bible really doesn't mean anything. It's not relevant for today. And because of that, the church has been weakened. And the church has been, for many years now, basically one of the most divided groups on the face of the earth. We have more strife, more arguments, more division than just about any other group in the world. And it all goes back to authority. Now, I said before, earlier, about responsibility. I want responsibility. I crave responsibility. I desire God's will. But it starts by praying that prayer, not my will, but your will. And then when you pray that, begin to be open to the Spirit of God, and He's going to show you where to go. He's going to show you the church. I believe He's called you here. He's going to show you where you're to work. He's going to show you who to marry. In all of these situations, the better that you are at submission, the better those things are going to go for you. The better you are in submission in your marriage, the better marriage you're going to have. The better you are in submission here in the church, the better your experience is going to be here. The better submitted you are in your business, the better things are going to go for you. Do you want to be a leader? Do you want to be a mover and a shaker? Do you want to be a player? I want to be a player. I've always been the guy that I like to be right in the middle in the game. I like to be on the playing field where everything's happening. And God is looking right now. He's searching to and fro. He's looking over this group right here tonight. And He's looking for people that understand authority. And the ones that He can find here tonight are the ones that He's going to pour out His Spirit and pour out His power to. And those are the ones that are going to see the miracles. Those are the ones that are going to see people saved, people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Billy, wouldn't it be something for one of these young people? They come in, they don't have a leg. And because you're submitted to God and submitted to His Word, the power of God flows through and that leg grows out.
Yeah.
But see, what people don't realize, it starts in the little things.
Yeah, that's right.
It starts in the little things. Because you don't have big things unless you start little things. Because God always moves by steps. Always by progression. And you know what gets most people? It's the little things. Because the little tests along the way, they don't pass those little tests. And they never get up to where they really want to go. The little things. Let's stand, everyone. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for revelation and light tonight. We thank You for truth. Father, we're people under authority. We want to be like that centurion, Lord, that You marvel at our faith. You marvel at our understanding of authority. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name for each person here tonight that they reach their potential. Father, I pray that the power of God may flow through them unhindered. And Father, if there's any corrections tonight in our lives we have to make, I pray that we would do it, that we would repent, go the other way, and make the changes. Father, I pray that we would improve our attitudes, improve our love walk, improve our understanding of guidelines and regulations and rules. And Father, let us be a blessing to our leaders. And I thank You for it, Father. Not my will, not our will, but Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.